Listen, Mr. Blood, the people love Tiffany. Tiffany is over as fuck right now, right? But for the people that love to hate on Nia Jax, is it the fact that Tiffany Stratton super over right now? Doesn't Nia Jax have a little bit to do with that? I think you can give Nia Jax a lot of credit for the fact that Tiffany Stratton is super over right now with the fans. Just saying.
Nia should get a lot of credit. Nia put her over. Nia helped build her when she was Nia's right hand.
Everyone
Nia was just as much a part of that story as Tiffany was to get her to turn.
Everyone was waiting for Tiffany to cash in on Nia. They wanted Tiffany to stab Nia in the back and do, you know.
Look, there's no monster pop for Tiffany if the monster heel doesn't put her over and get her there to that pop. So Nia deserves just as much credit for Tiffany being over as Tiffany does for getting over. Because Tiffany didn't just get over just by herself. It was her booking. But when you look at Mania and you look at that match between her and Charlotte, she was incredibly green looking in that ring. And Charlotte guided her through the majority of that match to the point of having to yell and call spots out to her because Tiffany looked out of place. That's why I don't buy her as a champion. She doesn't seem competent enough. So when I look at Nia, who has incredibly increased her game since her return, because let's be honest, from her first run to this run, it's night and day for Nia. She's really dialed in. And I think she is not getting the fucking credit she deserves for the amount she has improved in that ring. So Nia is great. Glad she's back. I hope injecting her in this makes this better.
Of course, this all ended up turning into the main event of the show, which was a tag team match between Nia Jax and Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton and Jade Cargill. Then later on, it was announced that Nia Jax and Jade Cargill are going to face each other next week for a number one contenders match, which the winner will then go on to face Tiffany Stratton for the women's championship. But Toxic, what were your thoughts on all of this here that we saw with the women's division tonight?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I'm glad Nia's back, even though I kind of don't like her because she's the heel, of course. But I'm glad to have her back. I just felt like something's been missing with everything that Tiffany has done ever since Elimination Chamber, which is when we last saw Nia. Technically today, but you get what I'm saying. I'm excited for the entire thing that they're doing for the women's division right now. I still see this all becoming a multi-man match. Tiffany, Naomi, fucking Jade, sorry, TikTok language, and Nia.
Jesus, again.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though, unfortunately. Tommy, let's go with you.
Yeah, I'm with T on this one. It has to happen. It truly does. A fatal four-way for this thing. And the closest it could possibly be, I don't think they're going to have it this fast. But if they do, backlash. In which it would kind of go with the theme that they're currently going through. Because if you think about it, this fatal four-way would be Tiffany's backlash for what she did to Nia, for that betrayal. But I honestly do not think that they're going to go that quickly in on it. Then again, it's Nick Aldis.
Saturday night's main event's 2 weeks after that.
That is true. That is true.
May 24th is the next Saturday night's main event this month.
Yeah, so if they don't do it at Backlash, then Saturday night's main event, as much as it's like an amateur thing, it's just there for the thought of, oh, this used to be a thing back in the day.
It's basically all exhibitions.
Yeah. It's an exhibition thing. But that fatal four way would absolutely bring ice to Saturday night's main event.
All right. Aleister Black finally had his first match in WWE in years, his first return match since he came back. And I'm saying return a lot because I got shitted on a lot in the comments on the TikTok video because I accidentally said his debut. Shout out to King Kilo Gaming. Thank you for the gifts. And by debut, I mean, technically it was his debut back after so many years, but this was his return match versus The Miz. And the last time I saw Aleister Black, I almost called him Malakai, was in AEW a long time ago. His final match in AEW, I believe, was versus Andrade months back. So it was cool to see him wrestle again. And since it's been a while, I wasn't sure. I'm like, this Aleister Black compared to the last Aleister Black or Malakai Black that I saw wrestle a few months ago, this guy felt different. He felt fresher. He felt like it wasn't the same guy from AEW. This version of Aleister Black to me felt different. And to be extra sure, I reached out to my buddy Dark Cords from the Heel Shit Podcast. Shout out to them to confirm. I asked him, where is it? Here it is. I asked him, did Malakai always wrestle like this? It's been a while since I've seen his matches. The last match I saw was versus Andrade. And he said, he's wrestling more like Tommy End and Malakai Black. He's got fight shorts on now, not trunks like Aleister used to. He's wrestling harder, more real fight based. So this was a new version of Malakai Black, or Aleister Black, I should say.
But I really quick, I think the main point here is that it feels like he actually wants to be here. And maybe that's why he feels fresher. But Toxic?
I'm truly excited for Aleister. But the one thing that I request, have him win at least one title. I don't care what it is. Put him up with someone random. Make him tag champ. Give him mid card. I don't care. Just give him a title of some freaking sort. I remember to use TikTok language.
Tommy.
Yeah, I'm with T on this one. He needs a title at some point. He needs one. Maybe not right off the bat, but at some point, do what Vince couldn't. Give him something. Literally anything. And even if you go Triple H with this good old mysterious look like you've been doing with him the last couple of things. And yes, this is technically his debut match. It's his debut return. How about we just put it that way? How about we just put it that way, because that's what it is. It is his debut return match. But yes, you have been going through with this mysterious look, and I love that because it fits him. It truly does. But mixed it up a little bit. Like, I get it. You want to have people be on the same caliber when it comes to the mysterious character as The Undertaker. I get that. But no. Like, there's something about Undertaker that you just can't replicate. And it is that mysterious side of them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like even I almost called him Malakai. even Aleister Black, I feel like he will get close to that level. I don't think he's going to hit it, though.
Look, as far as concerned, regardless of whatever shit people tried to give you in our TikTok video comments, I'm going to put it this way. This is a debut because it's him, but it's different. It's also his first time debuting under a full main roster Triple H booked show. So to me, all these characters that are re-debuting under Triple H's regime, to me, they're all fresh debuts because if they came back under Vince, they would have been saddled with the same gimmicks they had before. So Vince could make it easy on himself when he had the writers write for them. Well, I mean, what did they do last time they were here? Ah, same shit, different day. That's what he would have done. So for me, these are debuts because it's new writing for them. It's new presentation for them. It's basically a new fucking company at this point. So I don't care what anybody says. Snug is not wrong. This is a debut. And as far as debut goes, I think it's great. Start them off with a win over The Miz. Miz, reliable veteran, former world champion, two-time WWE champion. So intercontinental champion like 9-10 times. As far as I'm concerned, perfect person. Because Miz, despite what anybody thinks about Miz, he's a credible contender. So having him go over on a former world champion, a certified Hall of Famer. And if you don't think that The Miz is a first ballot Hall of Famer, you're fucking stupid. And as far as it's concerned, I love the way that they had him lean into that kind of, because it's not like they're trying to replicate Undertaker. He just has a different aura, right? It's that turn, it's that flip and sit. It's the, he has eyes in the back of his head and he turns straight down to sit and just stare you right into your soul without speaking, without blinking. He's just like, and you're like, okay, okay. I can feel that you're about that life. And the way that Carmella just like, the closer Tommy walked to him, or not Tommy, sorry, the closer Aleister Black walked to him, you just see Carmella just, okay, okay. And, you know, like, and that's the aura you want. You want the, I am not to be trifled with type of aura. It's not a spooky aura. Like his original presentation, remember, he used to come out of a fucking coffin. They would raise a box onto the stage with candles and flames around him, and he would just step out onto the ramp, and that was his presentation. His original presentation, Triple H actually helped him create that entrance. A lot of people forget that. Triple H helped him and the demon Finn Balor get their entrances created in NXT. So when it comes down to it, I like what's going on here. I like what's being done here. A good, clean, easy win over The Miz. And the fans this week started catching on to just how great this guy is. So I'm excited to see where he goes. Again, put a title on him. Hold on, Tommy. Put a title on him. But wait. Let's, just like Rusev, I'm going to say the same thing. He doesn't need a massive fucking push out the gate. But we need to get some credible wins under these guys. And we need to get some credible stories under these guys. And let's see where they are 9, 10, 11 months from now. You know? During Mania season next year. But not everybody needs a fucking title just because they debut. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Tommy?
Thank you for reminding me of that entrance. Because there's one specific match type that has been surrounded with Taker specifically. But I wouldn't mind if they used it a couple of times with Aleister Black. At least a couple of times. It doesn't have to be almost every damn match with him. Bring back the casket. Please. Bring back the casket match. Like, that would be awesome to have Aleister Black pull off a casket match.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if in 2025.
If you're trying not to have him replicate The Undertaker, maybe you shouldn't have him do one of The Undertaker's signature matches.
Yeah.
But then again, it's a match that we have not seen since Taker left. And it was one of those matches that everybody loved.
And that's fine. But I think that let these guys come in and make themselves great on what they do great.
And I'm pretty sure Undertaker was the only one that was having casket matches.
And that's the thing, too, is it was an Undertaker match. I think the last casket match, or buried alive match, or casket, whatever, I think the last one we have is the last one we need to have. Those matches, to me, need to stay in the bygone eras of the Undertakers and the Canes. I don't think they fit in today's professional wrestling.
No, they definitely don't. But for what it's worth, Aleister Black did win his debut match versus The Miz. It was a great competitive match. The Miz did not go down without a fight. This was not a squash match at all. It was a damn near 50-50 match. The Miz got a lot of heat on Aleister Black during this match. But Aleister Black ended up getting the win. And it was good to see, because this guy is so unique. He's different. It was refreshing to see. You know, he's not your typical guy. So that's always good. You know, it's something to look forward to on SmackDown, definitely. But let's move on here, because the new Women's United States Champion, Zelina Vega, she had a match versus Piper Niven. Now, a lot of people seem to be really, really glad and really, really happy, based on the videos that I saw after SmackDown last week, that Zelina Vega became the new United States Women's Champion. Me, not so much. I'm not one of those people. So sorry if you're a huge Zelina Vega fan. If you are, you should probably click away, because your feelings are about to get hurt. She wrestled Piper Niven, okay? And I get it. Let's, you know, she's Zelina Vega's a new champion. She needs to establish herself as a good champion. She needs to get some wins, needs to get some title defenses. However, Chelsea Green was out there. Chelsea Green was the most exciting part about this match. The former United States champion was getting more reaction during this match, who was not even in this match, than the actual champion, Zelina Vega. Why that is, it's pretty simple, y'all. Chelsea Green is just more over than Zelina Vega. She's more interesting. I just don't know why they would put the belt on Zelina Vega. Now, earlier in my stream, Toxic said, "Oh, you just hate on every women professional wrestler that isn't Rhea or Jade or whoever." And I'm like, no, I don't.
Am I wrong?
Yes, you are. I don't hate on women professional wrestlers if they're good.
Liv Morgan.
If they're good, I don't hate on them. For example, Zelina Vega. Let's do a little quick comparison. All right. Let's go back a few years to the Attitude Era. All right. The women's wrestling in the Attitude Era wasn't the greatest, right? It was a joke. But at least these women look somewhat intimidating. Jacqueline, she can look like she can beat someone's ass. Victoria, also bodybuilder, you know, fitness model. She can look like she can whip someone's ass. Lita, look like a badass. Who else? Trish Stratus. She China. Wasn't the biggest.
I was about to say, don't China. Even get this man started on China.
China.
And then China. Let's just compare those female wrestlers to Zelina Vega. Mr. Bled earlier was talking about how he doesn't buy Tiffany Stratton as a champion. I don't buy Zelina Vega as a wrestler. Not just a champion, but as a wrestler. So anyway, I really couldn't care too much about this match. I hate to say it, but I'm just being honest. Who's up first for this one? I think it's you, Mr. Blood.
Tommy. It's Tommy.
Okay.
Yeah, Tommy. It's me.
Go ahead.
So, I'm going to start off with this. Wade Barrett, thank you for saying something about this. Zelina Vega, you motherfucker. You motherfucker. Over here, making the entirety of the TikTok audience of yours cry while you're putting your United States title underneath your dad's name.
Oh my God.
It's a 9/11 memorial.
Jesus Christ.
making everybody cry from this. Shut up, you solo glazer.
Nah, I'm not gonna shut up. Like, what a
freak up.
Like, what a fucking, like, the most cringiest thing ever. Like, whoa, we get
let's
it.
Not, let's not get any undue heat on the podcast for.
No, I'm just gonna
honoring her father's memorial with a
and that's belt. And yeah, that's
we're already
fine.
Canceled enough.
And that's fine, but tell me that's not like the biggest fucking.
I think it's sweet. I think it's sweet.
It's sweet
because it's personal
you,
to her.
Snug, you say that's cringy? Then you must have been extremely bad when it comes to cringing at WrestleMania 40 at the end of that.
No, I just wanted to say, like,
over here going on his knees in tears, handing the title to his mom. Because dad's not there.
I think it's sweet for Zelina. And first off, let's really quick, but without interrupting Tommy, really quick, two things. One, Snug, I know you don't care. It's Zelina Vega. You keep saying Selena, like the Mexican superstar. It's a Z.
Yeah.
Zelina Vega.
Yeah, I'm going to say it the proper way because I actually speak Spanish, but go ahead.
Second off, well, this is America. Second off, I don't think it's cringe. I think that when you win those titles, I think that in the moment you win them, you're just flooded by all the things you wish you could have done or told yourself you were going to do when you won them. And her dad's been gone a long time, obviously, 9/11. So I think when she was a little girl, she probably said, one day, if I ever win this championship, if I ever reach my dreams, I'm going to bring this title to you to show you that I did it. So I don't think it's cringe because I think what's cringe to me is Logan Paul taking a picture of himself with his United States title around himself, covering his genitals in the bathroom while he's taking a shower. That's cringe. For me, this is it's sweet because it's like, hey, Dad, I said I was going to do it. You never got to watch me wrestle. You never got to watch.
I get that. And I became a champion. I know the story. I understand it. I get it. But it's cringe because it's like, oh, look at me. Oh, I'm such a baby face. Oh, I'm trying to get over more.
Now, hold on.
Oh, it's like super, like, she's just trying to get attention.
No, I mean, did she have to record it? No, but at the same time, she has followers and supporters that have been behind her for years, and they probably know her story, so she's sharing this moment with them too. But at that same token, look, do I understand where you're coming from where you say that it's hard to buy her as the champion? Yes, because I think Chelsea should have had it longer, and she should have been booked better with it, because the pop Chelsea got when she wanted was insane. I will say that I'm tired of them doing what I'm starting to call the Zelina finish, where the only time this girl ever gets booked to win a match, it's because someone she's versing gets distracted and she surprises them with the win. I do not think her first title or her first win as a champion should be because Chelsea got in the way and Piper bumps her, so Zelina gets a roll-up and then ditches the ring as quickly as she can to run away so she doesn't get jumped. I don't think that really screams champion to me the first week after she wins it. I think that the way they booked that ending was stupid. I think if you want us to believe that she's a credible champion, you should have had her put Nia over without the shenanigans at the end. The apron bump and everything else.
Put Nia?
I think it should have been. I think it should have been that she beat her because she beat her. Like in Puerto Rico when she versed Rhea, there was a moment there where you were like, oh shit, are they going to have her do it? Because she was actually getting the offense, the work in on Rhea, and Rhea was selling her ass off for Zelina. And tonight, Piper was selling her ass off for Zelina. That tornado DDT out of that counter was insane. So I think that if they book her better, as in let's get some credible wins where that code red ends the pin without distractions, without someone on the apron, without someone distracting her opponent and her getting the win off of luck, then I think that this could be something good. Do I think it'd be better than what they could have done and should have done with Chelsea? No. But I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because this is her first ever championship in the company. And I want to see her succeed because it's her first. She's been there a long time. She's waited a long time. And She's proven that she has the ability to connect with the fans, which is the most important part. So let's see where it goes. And at this point, it's going to come down to Triple H, will you book her correctly? And she's going to do the best she can with what she's given.
Yeah, I like the finish. I mean, this match took forever. This was a long fucking match. Like, at one point, Zelina Vega hit a moonsault, and I was like, oh, it's over. 1, 2, kick out. And I'm like, oh, fuck, it's not over yet. But I like the finish because Piper Niven is like 3 times bigger than Zelina Vega. Even if Zelina Vega beat Piper Niven clean, I wouldn't have bought that shit. I would have called bullshit all. I'm like, yeah, there's no fucking way.
I agree. Like, I agree that the roll up makes sense for the size difference. I agree with that. I feel like that's the only credible way they probably could have booked her to beat her. But I don't think the roll up should have come off of Chelsea being the one to cause the distraction on accident. I think they should have had a roller up because she outsmarted Piper, not because Chelsea got in the way.
Size-wise, for me, this feels like the old-school Rey Mysterio matches where everybody was taller than him, and he was fighting through the size difference in every way.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Tom.
The ultimate underdog, and if we're being honest, they're trying to make Zelina the female Rey, which is why they had her with him for so long. She's using the 619. She's using a lot of his taunts. The Viva La Raza, they're literally trying to make her like a female Rey.
Yeah.
And it works and doesn't work because one, he's Mexican, and two, she's Puerto Rican. So for me, I don't see that. To me, you can't just copy and paste Spanish on Spanish and say it's the same culture. It's not. That being said, Toxic, what do you think?
I think y'all are all haters, except for Tommy, because I don't know what he thinks. Zelina Vega is gonna, I think.
Dude, I love Zelina.
Okay, well, if you would let me get back to speaking instead of, I haven't interrupted recently. Anyways, I think that Zelina Vega's title run is, now I know I'm going to get a lot of heat from this. And guess what? I'm going to violate TikTok language real quick. I don't give a fuck.
About what?
I think Zelina's title reign is going to be better than Chelsea's.
Oh. Okay.
I know. I'm okay. But, Blood, I do want to comment on something you said, which you called the Zelina Vega finish. That's like saying Travis Scott costing Cody Rhodes is justified and not BS because I think you already get where this is going.
Let me put it this way for you. The reason I call the Zelina finish is not at Zelina's fault. It's the way they're booking her finishes. When was the last time she beat someone where she didn't roll them up, she didn't catch them off surprise, someone didn't interfere, and she capitalized on it to win? When was the last time?
I don't know. You act like I have perfect fucking memory.
That is honestly like the Bloodline getting involved and forcing in everything, the Roman Reigns finish, because he made that big.
But the thing is, Tommy, the thing is that she has the potential to be, I think, a very good champion. She can definitely go in the ring. She's better than Liv, and Liv came a long way, so that's saying something. I know that Snuggle Roll's eyes, but I keep going back to Puerto Rico because that backlash, her versus Rhea, was one of the best matches on that whole card. And they never capitalized on it after that because they only built her up in the weeks leading up to it because, hey, hometown girl, home country girl, and this will be huge because we're going to feature all the Spanish people and Puerto Ricans and everything on this card and Bad Bunny and another Puerto Rican, Damian Priest, and you guys are going to love them because we're here. It's the same thing they did with Alba Fire and everything when they went to freaking Ireland. You know, it's because you're here, now you get a spot to shine instead of, hey, you've been putting in the work, you connect with the fans love you, you have a character, and we're going to actually push you because people want to get behind you. So the only time they feel like pushing her is when they need to have her fill a slot in a feud or in a multi-woman feud. And if she wins, it's because of a distraction or a finish. She has never hit that code red on someone and beaten them fair and square, at least within the last year that I can think of. They need to book her finishes smarter for her title run to feel credible. That's what I'm saying.
Shout out to Matt Thomas says, why was Selena doing the Mercedes dance tonight? I don't know. Maybe because Selena's just as fucking cringe as Mercedes Moné.
She did Mercedes Moné.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
This is the fucking Mercedes dance that I'm trying to wipe my face off, but it's stuck. That's Mercedes' dance.
They only pushing her now because her husband came back. I agree with Matt 100%. But
I did make that comment last week. I kind of feel bad about it, but at the same time, kind of funny that the same night he returns, then they decide to put that championship match on that exact
Oh, same you said that, Mr. Blood. That was you. You're going to take the credit for that?
I am the one who said it. Remember?
Oh, my God. Here we go. Here we go.
Did I not say that I thought it was weird? Oh, actually, how about this?
Here we go.
Brought up the beginnings of it. I elaborated. How about that?
Yeah, but literally, thank you.
I straight up said that I was, because remember, I made a whole stink about it. I was pissed.
What up, Finch?
I said that how dare they leave Chelsea off the main card, and they only put it on that SmackDown because it was going to be a feel-good night for Aleister and freaking Zelina. I said that, and what you said to defend it was, well, it's the SmackDown after Mania. They got to save at least some big match or moment.
Oh, here we go. That's what you said. Here we go. All right.
Am I wrong, boys?
You know what?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Blood is sounding the sound like Drew McIntyre. I prayed for this, and it happened.
I still can't get over the fact that we're sitting here still talking about Zelina Vega, and you guys are really trying to compare her to Rey fucking Mysterio. Let's move on.
You're over here trying to compare her to, like, 10 fucking wrestlers from the Attitude Era. Shut up, Snug.
He was comparing her to them by a contrast, not in similarity. However, I did not compare her to Rey. I said they're trying to make her the female Rey.
Do not Zelina That's Vega and Rey Mysterio in the same sentence, please.
I mean, they were both in the LWO together. They were in the same sentence with each other for over a year.
Well, which is unfortunate enough. All right, let's talk about this Randy Orton promo. I didn't really get to hear the whole thing, so you guys are going to have to catch me up on it really quick.
It was only – look – I'll take this because it's my turn to go first. I'll make it short and simple. John Cena last week said that my family was this and that. He's going to erase my legacy. He's not going to erase my legacy. John, you stand for hustle, loyalty, and respect. I'll give you a hustle. Where's loyalty? Where's the respect? Because you betrayed that when you sold your soul. And how dare you say you're going to delete my family's lineage. So here's what I'm going to do at Backlash. I'm going to punt kick your head so far. It's going to go through the archways out there in St. Louis, Missouri, the famous U-shaped things they have, the gateways. And then I'm going to drop you with the three most dangerous letters in all of sports entertainment, R, K. And the crowd goes, oh, that was all it was.
Yeah.
It was two and a half minutes.
My wife came in and she was talking to me about some stuff. And I figured, this is probably a good time to, take my attention off of wrestling because I knew John Cena wasn't going to come out or anything. No. I knew it was just going to be Randy.
You didn't miss anything. It's a Randy Orton promo you've heard before in a different feud at a different time. There was nothing you missed. It was 2 minutes. And without John Cena, you could have skipped the promo.
All right. Other than that, we had two more matches. We had the main event, which was a women's tag team match between Jade, Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax, Naomi, which I feel like we pretty much covered. So other than that, we had Rey Fénix versus Santos Escobar. Rey Fénix won again. Rey Fénix is looking good since he debuted, because this was the actual debut on SmackDown. And I mean... there's not a whole lot to say about this match, but about the actual match. It wasn't a bad match. But I really like how they're pushing Penta as a singles competitor on SmackDown. And I love how they're pushing, Fénix on SmackDown. And I love how they're pushing Penta on Raw as a singles competitor first, because earlier, I think it was Tommy that mentioned that he can't wait to see the Lucha Brothers back, but I'm glad that they're letting them do their own thing separately. They're building them up separately, and eventually when they're established, eventually somehow they're going to come together, but when they come together, they're going to be an even stronger force. Individually, they're going to be built strong. When you put them together, it's going to be even better. It's going to be a stronger dynamic, and it's going to be great for the tag team division whenever that happens. But I'm glad to see what they're doing with Phoenix on SmackDown. Yeah, man, I'm super excited for this, for Rey Fénix and what they're doing. So, who's up? Any thoughts on this match with Fénix and Santos Escobar?
I'll make it quick. I didn't see this match. It's the only segment I didn't see. Rey Fénix, again, I'm not as impressed with him as I should be. And I think that's because, to be fair, I think I said this a couple weeks ago, I just feel oversaturated on the luchadors right now. Like, I really do. Oversaturated. Too many. El Grande Americano, Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, LWO, Legado del Fantasma, freaking the debut of fucking Penta, you know, like Axiom, if you could call him a luchador. Like, legitimately, I feel like there's so many Spanish wrestlers, masked or unmasked, that have very similar move sets to very similar dynamics, and none of them seem to really get the push they should, unless your name is Rey or Penta currently. And as far as I'm concerned, because since Penta's debuted, I've hit my limit on caring about luchador wrestling. I'm fine watching Penta, and I enjoy Penta. But when Rey Fénix came in, the first thought I had, and I said this about a month ago, was it's just like watching a smaller Penta wrestle. I was more impressed with Nathan Frazier versus with Nathan Frazier when he versus Rey Fénix than Rey Fénix himself. And I think that's because I'm just feeling oversaturated on the luchador wrestlers. So it's just, I want him to succeed. I'm excited to see what happens if the draft does wind up happening, but we have 9 fucking weeks of programming coming that they've announced all these PLEs inside of 9 weeks. There's like 5 or 6. Okay. So I don't even know if we're getting to the draft until the end of the fucking summer. And as far as I'm concerned, if the Lucha Bros happen, great. If not, I don't think I care right now. I want to, I do, but I don't feel like I'm wrong for saying that it's hard for me to care when there's so much lucha libre and luchador talent on these rosters that just are not getting their dues. Like, we're supposed to care about Santos. His heel turn was supposed to be massive. And the booking behind that turn only went as far as him versing Rey. And then they separated, got split to different brands within a month of that feud happening. And then they had him try to recruit and fight against like this guy and that guy. And then they just stopped booking him altogether. Unless his team was jobbing out for him. But they never follow through on these guys' pushes. When it comes to luchadores and lucha libre, I feel like they never follow through on any of these Spanish talents except for Rey, Penta, and Damian. That's it. Come on, Zelina's been there how long? They just put the title on her. So it's like, how am I supposed to care about these amazing, incredible Mexican, Dominican, Puerto Rican, Colombian, all these amazing talents, if you aren't showing me that you care? So I don't give a shit about Rey Fénix right now. And it's not Rey Fénix's fault.
Cool. Thanks for keeping it quick, Blood. Go ahead, Toxic.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. What happened to keeping it quick?
It was going to be longer. It was going to be longer than
anyways.
I did.
Nothing. Okay. Anyways, I completely disagree with whatever the hell Blood was yapping about. I completely love. Fuck you. Anyways, God damn it! I don't even remember what I was gonna say.
It wasn't important then. Should we come back? We'll come back to you, Toxic. Go ahead,
Put that
Tommy.
dictionary down.
I can put my thoughts on this pretty much in one sentence. Besides this, what the fuck are we doing with Santos? What are we doing? Because other than this, he has not been in the ring in quite some time. It's been a minute besides this. His heel turn literally just led to him basically in a managerial position. That's it. Like, Santos basically is nothing else besides just standing there for the tag team. That's it. That's all he has. And I honestly wish he had more, because in the ring, he's so good. It's like, in the ring, he's great. I love it. But the problem is, they don't show that. Because he's just sitting in the back. I honestly, honestly wish that they would use Santos Escobar. Escobar? There we go. I knew it was only a matter of time. I knew it was only a matter of time. There we go, Toxic. We are now the dictionary bros. But I honestly wish that they use Santos Escobar more. I truly do.
Yeah,
because they're not using him right.
And I think they are, by the looks of what they what we saw after the match backstage in that video package. It looks like we might get a feud with Andrade and Santos Escobar.
Please do. Put in something in more than just, hey, this is my group. I am leader and I don't do anything.
How about the
Please
fact
do.
That they just
follow
they
finally, through with that?
How about the fact that they finally now want to reinsert Andrade?
Well, he's been here and there, but he's mainly just been talking to the new guys.
But after the rip he went on with Carmelo last year, the fact that they didn't capitalize on that is exactly what I'm talking about. Unless your name is Rey Mysterio, Penta, or Damian Priest, they don't give a shit about your luchador, lucha libre, nothing on the card. Half the Mexican wrestling, Puerto Rican wrestling on these cards are the extras in front of the leaders of their stables getting jobbed out.
Yeah, Andrade's not he's not one of the ones that has really gained a whole lot since coming over to the WWE under the new Triple H era. But with this whole thing with Triple A, I think a lot of the luchadors and Mexican and other, you know, Hispanic wrestlers, I think there's more opportunity for them to get over. But
I mean, technically, this feud goes back like a year or two. But the thing is, they never truly pulled the trigger on it. They didn't really do anything with it.
They didn't. I mean, remember when Dragon Lee was supposed to be the next Rey Mysterio 2 years ago?
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. These guys deserve better. And to your comment about AAA, I'm really hoping that now that they've acquired AAA, this is going to lead to maybe cross-promoting, where they can jump across and feud over there. If they're not getting enough TV time over on WWE, then maybe they'll get some TV time on AAA and still be under WWE contract. No money changes. They don't got to worry about that. But if you're not going to use them here, let them do something else that's going to actually get eyes on them, because these are all incredibly talented individuals that deserve way more than they're fucking getting. And I don't think I'm wrong for saying that. Toxic, did you figure out what you wanted to say, brother?
Yeah, no.
Right on. Well, that was Friday Night SmackDown from tonight, you guys. Overall, the show wasn't as bad. I mean, there was a few matches there. I mean, you know, a couple matches. I was just like, eh. The opening match was probably my favorite match. The tag team match wasn't bad either. The other thing that I want to talk about really, really quick, and when I mean quick, I mean quick. R-Truth. Oh, is it fucking up? Is the audio fucking up again?
Okay. Quick, go.
No, let's just end it. Let's just go. We'll talk about R-Truth another time, because we saw a couple R-Truth segments, one on Raw, one on SmackDown, that involved John Cena and Randy Orton that I thought was really interesting.
I did see that. I saw that the backstage of that. Yeah. But other than that, I think the SmackDown was 70% skippable.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I can agree with that. Well, cool. Right on, Phyllis. Thanks again. Sorry about all the technical difficulties we had tonight. Thanks for everyone that was hanging out with us, commenting, following, sharing, liking, and all that good stuff. You guys are awesome. Until next time, my name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling from the Snug Wrestling crew. Thank you, Blood. Thank you, Toxic. And thank you, Tommy. You guys have a good night. Good night, goodbye, no ye, let's go, bye-bye.
One word.
God, I hope the audio fucked up on that.